Hello, my name is Molly.
And cover.
I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation.
And cover.
Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, together co-creating a world of harmony, peace, nonviolence, inclusive compassion, justice, health, wellness, and freedom for all. Duck and Cover, from 1951, featuring Bert the Turtle, a PSA film by the Civil Defense. The piano music underlying the intro of this episode is Alive by Will Tuttle, author of The World Peace Diet. Duck and Cover, a PSA film teaching children how to protect themselves from an atomic bomb, the atomic bomb, the World Peace Diet, eating for spiritual health and social harmony. Soon we'll be joined by Cindy Sheehan, known as the Peace Mom, an international peace and justice activist. After we hear from this recent PSA public service announcement by New York City's Emergency Management, released July 11th, 2022, informing citizens what to do. In the event of a nuclear blast,
so there's been a nuclear attack. Don't ask me how or why, just know that the big one has hit, okay? So what do? There are three important steps that I want you to remember. Step one, get inside fast. You, your friends, your family, get inside. And no, staying in the car is not an option. You need to get into a building and move away from the windows. Step two, stay inside. Shut all doors and windows. Have a basement? Head there. If you don't have one, get as far into the middle of the building as possible. If you were outside after the blast, get clean immediately. Remove and bag all outer clothing to keep radioactive dust or ash away from your body. Step three, stay tuned. Follow media for more information. Don't forget to sign up for Notify NYC for official alerts and updates. And don't go outside until officials say it's safe. All right? You've got this.
That was a PSA. Public service announcement from New York City's Emergency Management, July 11th, 2022. You tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena, Massachusetts. It's time to stop the violence, stop the exploitation, and stop the slavery. I'm very honored that in today's interview, we have Cindy Peace Mom Sheehan. Who's been a vegan and also been a peace and social justice activist for decades. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning into Vegan Nation. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management.
Duck and cover. Duck and cover.
That film was produced in cooperation with the public schools of Astoria and New York, New York. Duck and Cover from 1951. Thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation. We're very fortunate to be joined by Cindy Peace Mom Sheehan, who's joining us via Skype in California. And Cindy is known internationally as a peace and justice activist, a very powerful activist. Welcome, Cindy, and thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for inviting me, Marlene.
Well, I admire and honor, and I'm grateful for all your work all these decades. We need you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, thanks. So, Cindy, could you please tell us a little bit about yourself and how you became a peace and justice activist?
I've been a vegan for a long time, since I was like 24 years old. So now I'm 65. So I can't even believe it. That's 40 years. First, I started getting migraines, and then I tried to do the elimination diet, eliminate, eliminate, eliminate. And then when I eliminated dairy, it seemed like it really helped my migraines. And then for some reason, I read Diet for a New America, and then I just really was appalled by the animal, by the cruelty that goes into making our food. And I just couldn't, you know, as a person with a heart, subject animals to that. You know, I had all my babies at home. I was one of those earth mothers, breastfed them for as long as they wanted to. Unfortunately, they all weaned themselves when they were like 15 months old, and I always wanted to nurse them longer, but, you know, they didn't. This is what I was just following their lead. My son, Casey, my oldest son, was just this wonderful human being, and he was just one of those special people. I mean, all my children, I feel, are special. But Casey kind of shone with this inner light of peace and tranquility. You know, he was just a very genuine person, a good kid, a good son, a good student, a good Boy Scout, you know, a good altar server. He just really wanted to help people and just do the right thing, like almost all the time. We rarely had any issues with Casey. We rarely had to discipline him. And he was, you know, my oldest child, so that's always special. That's always special to a mother. But in the year 2000, he was in a community college, and he was getting ready to graduate from community college to go on to a four-year university, and he wanted to be an elementary school teacher. You know, this is the kind of human being that was murdered by U.S. imperialism. He taught Sunday school. He taught preschool kids, volunteered. This is all volunteer, right? So anyway, he went to a job fair at his community college, and he got like sucked in by a recruiter, and a military recruiter for the Army. And so then the recruiter promised Casey to finish school. He would get everything he needed, even when he was in the Army, all the tools he needed to get his bachelor's degree. And that was very important to Casey. And he just felt like he was working full time, going to school full time. And, you know, he didn't want to be a burden on our family. As a working class family, you know, we never had any money at the end of the month to store away for four kids their education. But we helped out, you know, we helped our children out when we could, and things like that. And so he decided to join the Army, and we weren't happy about it. His dad and I were not happy about this decision, but he was already 21 years old. So it's not like we could forbid him from joining the Army. And so then we all know what happened in 2001, 9/11 happened. And then in 2003, the U.S. invaded Iraq, and Casey was deployed there in March of 2004, and he was killed just days after he actually got to the base he was going to be stationed at on April 4th, 2004. And he was a Humvee mechanic. He was told that even if there was a war, he wouldn't see combat. And he was just literally killed days after he got there in combat, on a mission that he was forced to go on, because when he was ordered to go, he actually had the courage to tell his superior, "I'm not going. I don't want to kill anybody. I didn't, you know, I'm a mechanic. I didn't come here to kill people." And this was told to me by one of his buddies who was very near him, because his buddy told me I should stop blaming Bush. I should blame the superior who forced Casey to go on the mission. And so he was killed. And then being against the war, we were against the war. He was against the war. After he was killed, I got fired from my job because they said I missed too much work. And so I just had a lot of time to start reaching out to, and trying to find other people who felt the same way I did. And I actually found a very awesome community of other mothers and fathers who lost their children, not lost, whose children were murdered in the war, who felt the same way that we did. So I founded an organization called Gold Star Families for Peace.
Thank you, Cindy. Thank you. And rest in peace to Casey. And I think Casey's birth date and Casey's transition date are very significant. Can you tell us about that?
Well, so when Casey, before I got all involved in this peace activism, anti-imperialism, whatever, I was a Democrat. And so I'm not anymore because they've betrayed the peace movement so many times. I just had to leave. But I was also a history major. I was very into U.S. history. I really thought that was, you know, it was awesome. But Casey was born on the same day as, at that time, my favorite president, John F. Kennedy, May 29th, 1979. That was Casey's birthday. When he was born, I didn't have any, like, premonition that that would be, you know, maybe a bad omen, because Kennedy was assassinated on November 22nd, 1963. And so the day he was killed, it was April 4th, 2004, and I never even thought about it. It didn't even cross my mind that that was the same day that Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. But, you know, a few months later, it did strike me that that was very synchronous.
We're listening to Cindy, Peace Mom Sheehan. I'm Miley Nara, host of Vegan Nation. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Cindy Sheehan.
Hey, y'all. Motown Tom here, and I want you to stop whatever you're doing and tune in to the Jukebox of Motown every Wednesday morning. It ain't nothing but a Motown dance party, so join the dance line, and we're going to be dancing in the streets every Wednesday.
The Jukebox airs every weekday morning from 9 until 1 p.m.
Hi, this is
the Boys and Girls Club of Worcester.
You're listening to WCUW
91.3 FM.
Worcester!
Hi, everybody. This is Mike Warren, your host for the Wednesday Drive at 5. Let me be your driver as we cruise through all types of musical genres. Right here on WCUW Worcester, 91.3 FM, streaming all over the globe on WCUW.org. Let me be your chauffeur.
Welcome back from the break, and thank you very much for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Miley Nara, in Worcester, Massachusetts. We're continuing our conversation with Cindy, Peace Mom Sheehan.
You don't know, Marlene, I've been so honored by everybody who have approached me and said, we didn't join the Army because of your story, or my child didn't join the Army because of your story. People, mothers buying my books and having their children read them, their teenagers read them, have prevented their children from dying, but also whoever they would have killed, you know. So I think Casey would be very pleased with my hard work and at least that result, even if the wars haven't ended.
And yes, the vegan movement in 2022 is a peace movement, a justice movement, and a movement of compassion and nonviolence. So we're all together working to transform the system and really bring an end to this paradigm of tyranny and trauma. And, wow, what a challenge we have, because it just seems to be carrying on and even getting worse, in my opinion. So let's talk about
Absolutely.
That. Yeah. And I know that you, wow, you know a lot of what's going on. And so I do want to mention how much I appreciate your website. And so from your website, I learned that the U.S. military annual budget is $840 billion.
Right. So the Congress just passed an $840 billion, the largest by far, and they call it a defense budget, but let's be real, it's an offense budget. But that $840 billion is just what we can see. We can't see the black ops budget. We don't even know how many billions of dollars that is. We can't, they don't count like the nuclear program. Even the bombs go under the Department of Energy. The money that the United States sends to other countries for military aid, they call it foreign aid, but it's really military aid, because the money that goes to these countries has to be used to purchase military hardware and equipment from the United States. So that goes under the State Department. So the true budget, we don't even know. It's way over $1 trillion for sure. So it's really a disgusting situation where, like you said, things are getting worse.
I hear what you're saying. I hear it, and I think we just got to keep at it. And I believe with powerful, compassionate activists such as you, Cindy Sheehan, we will eventually succeed. And speaking of that, I would want to say that I really enjoyed your interview with Dr. Will Tuttle, author of The World Peace Diet.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
What a sweet man, first of all. But, you know, talking to Bob Linden of Go Vegan Radio and Will Tuttle of the World Peace Diet, they think that the vegans, and they've been very distressed that a lot of vegans have bought into Big Pharma. They bought into we got to get jabbed by this experimental drug, and, you know, we need to lock down, wear masks, separate from each other, you know, blah, 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 whatever. So they've been very distressed about the vegan movement. Bob and Will, I have to say, they are amazing peace activists, and yourself as well. You have to recognize what Bob says all the time, that as long as there are slaughterhouses, there will be battlefields. And so we can't separate these two issues, can we?
No, I agree with you. Yeah, I like how Will talks about the military-industrial, meat, medical, pharmaceutical, media, banking complex.
I know peace activists, they have a cognitive disconnect about the violence on their plate. And Will pointed that out, and Bob points that out all the time as well.
Yes. Yes, I totally agree that we aren't going to solve any of the human problems until we stop oppressing, exploiting, harming, enslaving those who don't look like us, the other animals, because
raping.
Yeah. Yeah. When we look at it, the lab animals, the lab animal breeding facilities that is heavily involved with pharmaceutical industry, the military industry,
right,
and of course, all of the animal agriculture, small and large, the dairy industry, the egg industry, all of it. And there's a chapter in The World Peace Diet that talks about the metaphysics of food, and that was actually my favorite chapter, that it's about vibrations. And so it's not only in our cells, but by consuming and participating in the sales and the purchase and the consumption of animal products and animal testing via injection or ingestion, it becomes part of the collective consciousness, and it just goes on and on and on. And I think it's going to get worse, and I think the idea of a nuclear annihilation could be a reality.
Well, that's actually very frightening. And as a mother and a grandmother and a human being, somebody that lived through the Cold War who he had recurring dreams of mushroom clouds. I think it's closer now than it has been in my lifetime.
I hear you. Yes. And of course, the microchips, even that possibility of the whole idea of the digital passports, that the whole plan of the Agenda 2020 and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's a couple more things I wanted to ask you before we close our interview for today. And that is about the Time magazine photo of you with the folded American flag. Can you explain that a little bit?
Mm-hmm. So I was invited to New York twice in a fairly short time to be part of Time magazine retrospective. There was one that was significant people, and then another one was activists after 9/11. I think that one was it. For that one, they asked me to bring props to New York for the photo shoot. And so I brought the American flag. I brought Casey's cross that was at Camp Casey for all the times that we went. I brought a few things, but I also brought a shirt that said, arrest Cheney first. And so, because we had this thing like arrest Bush, and people were like, well, what happens if we impeach or arrest Bush, then we'll get Cheney. And my answer was, well, we need to arrest him first. And so the photographer goes, I need you to wear that shirt. And so I wore that shirt. He told me to hug the flag, you know, the flag, which, you know, gave me a lot of emotion. I had a lot of emotion at that time. And so the funny thing about that, Marlene, was either right before me or right after me was the profile of Dick Cheney. And I thought, that's brilliant. That is, that was worth going all the way to New York to have this photo shoot.
Could you tell us a little bit more about Camp Casey? Because this is the anniversary.
Yeah, this is the 17th anniversary. I can't even believe it's been that long. I had lunch with my oldest daughter, who's now my oldest child, you know, here on Earth. Today, and I was like, can you believe it's been 17 years? I was at home on August 3rd, 2005, and George Bush came on the news, and he was in Texas. He was on vacation again, and he said that all the families of the loved ones who were killed in Iraq could rest assured that their loved ones died for a noble cause. And so I was listening to maybe a reporter might chime up and ask him what was the noble cause, and none of the reporters did. And so by another synchronicity, I was going to Texas the very next day, and I was going to speak at the Veterans for Peace convention there. So I was already known by the peace community. And so I was going to the VFP, Veterans for Peace convention. They always have big conventions every year. I was one of the keynote speakers. And so I thought, you know, and my sister was going to meet me there. She lived in Los Angeles. I live up by Sacramento and San Francisco in California. And she was going to fly to Dallas, and I was going to fly to Dallas, and we were going to meet each other, rent a car, go, and then go to the convention. And so I called her and I said, hey, George Bush just said Casey died for a noble cause. How about like on Saturday when I'm finished at the convention, we go down to Crawford and we demand a meeting with him to ask him what noble cause, because the press didn't ask him what was the noble cause. And she's like, brilliant, let's do it. And so I sent out an email to just my small email list of maybe 200 or 300 people that I had gathered since Casey died. By the time I got home, my email box was full. It had 1,000 emails of people saying, I want to help. Let's do it, you know? And so Saturday, we got in a bus and we drove from the VFP convention in Dallas to Crawford, Texas. And we met at the Crawford Peace House, which I didn't know existed until I went to Dallas. And we all met there, and then we just drove a short distance to around Bush's ranch, and then we marched up the road, it's called Prairie Chapel Road, to try to get to Bush's ranch, but the cops stopped us. And the day before, one of the directors of the Crawford Peace House named Hadi Jawad. He said, Cindy, what are you going to do if Bush doesn't meet with you? And I was like, you know, I didn't think about that, but I think I'm just going to sit down in the road and say I'm not going to leave until he does meet with me. And Hadi was all like, wow, that's an action. And that's actually what ended up happening. He didn't meet with me. We set up camp. For the first night, there was only 7 people there. And then by the end of August, we had had probably over 20,000 people come to Crawford, Texas, and then, you know, thousands and thousands of vigils and support all around the world for what we were doing in Crawford, Texas.
Wow. Can't,
yeah, it was incredible. It yeah. really was an incredible summer. Lots of stress. You know, they don't lie when they say it's hot in Texas.
Wow.
And but it really was an incredible action.
Camp Casey, 2005. Thank you, Cindy. Thank you for being an activist decade after decade and carrying on. Wow. Well, we're coming to a close in the interview for today, Cindy. What additional messages do you have for our listeners?
Well, I just want to say that we're never going to get out of this deep hole that we're dug into if people keep playing the Democrat versus Republican game. We need to become independent thinkers, independent actors. We need solidarity of people around the world. We need to recognize that everybody, even people who aren't in the United States, have the same existential right as we do. And the way we live our lives is harmful to the environment, to animals, to peace, and to other people. And we just need to know that we don't have any friends in Washington, D.C., and we need to make friends with each other to overcome these serious threats.
Thank you, Cindy. And that you've been a vegan for decades, and what specific message do you have for other vegans worldwide?
I just think, like what I said, like what Bob Linden says all the time, is a Tolstoy quote, as long as there are slaughterhouses, there will be battlefields. And the two things, peace and justice for animals that aren't human. To me, it's been since I was 24 years old, the same thing. They have been inseparable.
Beautiful. Thank you, Cindy. And how can our listeners contact you?
My email is cindysheehansoapbox@gmail.com. And please go to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox newsletter at Substack and subscribe to my Substack.
Wonderful. Wow, thank you very much, Cindy Sheehan, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
It was my pleasure, Marlene. Thank you for inviting me. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Here's an announcement of a vegan event. Black Veg Fest. Spread Love. August 13th, 2022 in New York City. Black Vegan Festival. Visit blackvegfest.org. Thanks again for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Please join us again next week at the same time. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. Let's go out with more of Duck and Cover from 1951. This is a recording from Nuclear Vault.
We must be ready all the time for the atomic bomb. Duck and cover. That's the first thing to do. Duck and cover. The next important thing to do after that is to stay covered until the danger is over. Yes, we must all get ready now so we know how to save ourselves if the atomic bomb ever explodes near us. If you do not know just what to do, ask your teacher when this film is over. Discuss what you could do in different places if a bomb explodes. Older people will help us as they always do. But there might not be any grown-ups around when the bomb explodes. Then, you're on your own.
Remember what to do, friends. Now tell me right out loud. What are you supposed to do when you see the flash?
This is Marlena wishing you a good day.
Duck and cover. Duck and cover.
Thanks again for tuning in to Vegan Nation.